Good morning. Let's start with prayer. Jesus, thank you for this morning. Would you just bless our time, bless our spirit, and lead us so that we may be inspired and understand your word, and that your word would come and just pierce us, Lord. We thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me to Jonah chapter 2. So we're just going to start at the very end of Jonah chapter 1. At verse 17 at the end, it kind of just leads into Jonah chapter 2. So in Jonah 1, verse 17, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. And then in Jonah chapter 2, so this is Jonah's prayer. And something to kind of look at as we go through chapter 2, when Jonah basically prays in the belly of the fish, is the type of prayer he's doing, okay? As in, is it this like desperate, like, save me, Lord prayer? Or what kind of prayer is it? Okay, so Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the stomach of the fish, and he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice, for you had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. So at the end of Jonah, chapter 1, it talks about how Jonah was swallowed by a large fish. Many of us would imagine it's a whale. So some people wonder, is this literal? Like, was he actually swallowed by a giant fish? Or is this just a metaphor of what's going on in his life, right? But I want to say to you, it's literal. And Jesus references this as well. In Matthew 12, verse 40, this is what Jesus says. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days, three nights in the heart of the earth. So Jesus references this happening, I don't know, this what happened, right? And he references it, and it shows that there's similarities. And this is another instance where Jonah is a Christ-like figure that points to Jesus because of the 3 days, three nights in the belly, in belly of the sea monster. And in the same way, Jesus, when he dies, 3 days, three nights in the heart of the earth. So earlier I asked, what kind of prayer is this that Jonah does, right? And it's not really, I mean, it's hard to kind of catch because I know the English is like a little bit like poetic or kind of like Shakespeare English. So it's kind of hard to catch. But it's not the prayer that, for instance, when we're going through difficult times where we're just like, God, help me, save me. It's actually a prayer of almost like worship and thanksgiving, right? Let's take a look. So in verse 1, it says, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice. I mean, first thing to note is, he says, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. Did God answer him? No. At this point, he's just in the belly, right? He's in the worst point of his life. And yet he says, I called out my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. So this is a statement of faith that he's making. Even though God hasn't answered him, he's actually speaking in faith and proclaiming who God is. How is he doing that? Well, for the first two verses, he's actually quoting scripture, and it's from Psalms. So let me just give you a comparison. So I'll just repeat again. I called out on my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice. That's what Jonah just said. In Psalm 18:6, he says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. In verse 3, he says, this is what Jonah says, for you had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. In Psalm 42:7, it says, deep calls to the deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. So he's actually quoting scripture, right? In his most difficult of time, scripture came. He had no Bible, right? He had no, I'm sure it was pitch black, so he can't read from scrolls. He didn't have phones to Google encouraging verses when you're about to die, right? I think we all kind of do that. Google encouraging verses during, encouraging when you're stressed. He didn't have that, right? He only had to draw from what, from the verses he knew by heart, right? In Psalm 119:9-11, GIC verse, how can a young man keep his way pure by living according to your word? I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. So you see that Jonah, he had hidden the word in his heart. In that time when he could have just given up, right? Ah, oh, Lord, you put me here. Forget about it. I give up. But in that moment, the word came, right? And that word came, and not only did it just bring some encouragement or hope, it actually brought incredible faith, right? Where he could say, I'm calling out to you, and you have answered. But at that moment, he had not answered, right? In verse 4, it says, so I said, this is Jonah, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, oh, sorry, let's go back first. Verse 3, it says, for you had cast me into the deep. So right here, Jonah recognizes what happened, right? He's not like, oh, this is a series of circumstances that have happened that are random. But he recognized that God was the one who put him here. Because he says, for you had cast me into the deep. Because earlier, who cast him into the deep? Like, who physically cast him into the deep? It was actually, well, it was a combination of himself and the sailors. Because he was the one who said, sailors, I think if you want this storm to end, you should throw me in. And then eventually the sailors physically picked him up and threw him in the sea, right? But yet he recognizes, oh God, you're the one who did this. And then in verse 4 it says, so I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward your holy temple. So he recognizes, or probably the biggest struggle that Jonah is facing right now, because he's a good guy, Jonah. I compare him to Pastor Nate. He's a good guy. He loves God. He knows. And you can see the statements of faith, proclamation. And I think what he's suffering from is the separation from God, right? And it's a relational separation that happens very naturally. I know whenever we say, oh, like what separates us, sin separates us, right? And we think of this, sin, and it's true. But it's just a normal relational separation. When a husband or wife, when you and your parents, when your siblings, whoever you're closest to, when you have an argument and you fight, most people, when that happens, you lose sleep, right? You can't sleep. You're so angry. You're just so bothered by it. And there's just this, you can feel this separation between the person in the relationship. And this is what Jonah experiencing with God. He disobeyed. God told him to go this way. And he's like, forget it. This is his best friend and God. Goes the other way. And there's a separation in him. And he's going crazy. But look what Jonah says. It's kind of, I don't know if this is the right word, but it's almost kind of romantic. Okay? So he's saying, God, you have expelled me. You're not even looking at me. You're upset at me for what I did. But even if, I'm paraphrasing, even if you don't want me and you don't want to see me, I still want you. I will still look again towards, I'll still look to you, right? Wow, Jonah. I hope Jonah is growing on you. And then he goes on to express what was happening in his heart. This could be literal, or it could be just his heart. Water encompassed me to the point of death. I mean, he's been swallowed by this giant fish. And probably what happened as soon as he was swallowed by the fish would like just dive down, right? Usually, that's what I imagine what happened. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountain. The very bottom of the mountain is where, like, it'd be like, you know, lots of jagged rocks and stuff. The earth with its bars was around me forever. So he's describing like a prison. But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. Again, proclamation, right? God has not saved him yet. But he's saying, even in my lowest of times, even if I'm like in prison, by the weeds, God, you will come and save me. And he says, while I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. And my prayers came to you into your holy temple. And you kind of see, this is, I think for many of us, is when push comes to shove, when you're in your lowest of moments, you see what's true and important to you, right? For Jonah, it says, while I was fainting away, it could be literally physically he's about to faint. It could be his heart, probably more his heart, right? Because we're always talking about heart matter, where he's just about to give up. And then that moment, what does it say? I remembered the Lord. And then he prayed. I think for many of us, that's what happens. When we're at our lowest of times, you could lose a loved one. Your family member could be going through cancer. Perhaps you yourself went through a near-death experience. In those moments, you kind of clarify in your mind what's really important, right? I was talking to a house church member that left, and she had cancer, lymphoma cancer. And apparently the chance of living for something like lymphoma cancer is really low. And in that time, basically all the things that she kind of expressed, like, oh man, life feels so mundane or somewhat mundane because all the things that I used to value, they're not important to me anymore. Right, handbags or the latest this, the latest phone. And she said, it's even hard sometimes when I'm in fellowship with other Christians because the things we talk about, I mean, it's not like bad things, but just like the things they talk about, it doesn't matter, right? And at that point, she just really recommitted her life in Christ, and she's actually one of the founding actually, a big part was because of what happened, but she's one of the founding members of SPSG, or SP Singapore. And that's what it does, right? It kind of reshifts, realigns what is important in your life. And hopefully, and that's why I say when push comes to shove, but that doesn't always happen for everyone, right? Some people, they just really rely on themselves even more. But hopefully, when push comes to shove, you see, and I hope, I pray that you would turn to the Lord, right? In verse 8, it says, those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness. So what he's saying is, if you go after idols, right, you're basically not following God. And that's what he did, right? God told him to go this way. He went the other. He decided not to follow God. And you will forsake your faithfulness. So he's saying, you doing your own way, you going opposite of what God, you relying on your own strength, that's not reliable, right? You think that is a faithful, not, we're not talking about faithful to God, but that is a faithful, reliable thing to do, but it's not. And this is where Jonah just really makes that proclamation, and basically fully repents, right? He says, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving that which I have vowed I will pay. He's recommitted himself to following the Lord, and he says, salvation is from the Lord. Oh, what a beautiful final statement. He knows now, only salvation comes from the Lord. And he basically his hope, his faith, it only comes from the Lord. And then after this proclamation where basically, he didn't even say help, really, in this whole prayer. He just proclaimed who God is, gave thanksgiving, basically said, Lord, so romantic, even if you don't want me, I want you. And then in verse 10, then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. Kind of wonder, like, why did he have to vomit? Couldn't he just, like, spat him out? Anyway, let's pray. And I think the point is, don't look at this prayer as a formula to fulfill your prayers, right? Oh, because this is what Jonah did, then the Lord answered, right? Because he just proclaimed. But I think we should, because end of the day, it's a heart matter. But I think we can look to Jonah's prayer and be inspired with the way he went about things, right? Even before God answered him, he already thanked him for answering him. Even before God saved him, he already thanked God for saving him. And you see the faith that Jonah had as he prayed. And As Cindy leads us, let's look to our circumstances or things that require faith and that we're in need of God to answer and move in our lives. And let's respond and look to Jonah the way he responded, in that same way where we would just thanksgiving, right? For instance, if you're looking for a job, you say, Lord, I need a job. Thank you for your provision. I know who you are, that you are so good, that you would provide. We can pray that way with our family members who are not saved. Lord, I thank you that you care so much about my family members who are not saved, that even right now that you are working in their life, and that you will and want to bring salvation over their life. Let's just bring that thanksgiving and proclamation into those different areas of our lives.
I see the King of glory coming down the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see his love and mercy washing over all our sin. The people see, the people see. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna. I see a generation rising up to take the place with selfless faith, I see an revival stirring as we pray and see. We're on our knees, we're on our knees. And Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Heal my heart and make it clean, and open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours, and everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I walk from earth into eternity, and Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And Hosanna, Hosanna.
Let's just pray together right now. Let's do some thanksgiving and proclamation prayer, where we would just declare God's goodness in our lives. Yes, Lord, we just want to declare your and proclaim who you are, God. And you are a God who loves us so much. You're so intimate and desire intimacy with us, God. And you say that your sheep hear your voice, Lord. And so, Lord, we know that even as we pray today, even right now, you're listening. And not only do you listen, but you respond to us, God. We know you're an active God who speaks words to his children, Lord. But help us to decipher and hear clearly, God. We recognize that you have a purpose for us today, God. Even being here, Lord, just as though it's different circumstance, just as you cast Jonah into the sea, you have woken us up this morning and brought us to early morning prayer, Lord, that you are someone who is in partnership with us, doing stuff with us, Lord. And you just love us so much, Lord. We just know that you're good, that your desire is to bless your children as well. And we just want to thank you for all the things that you have done, will do, and just who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just pray together. Let's cover our community. Let's cover those who are loved ones who are going through cancer, as well as chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray for God's healing, for strength, both emotionally and physically in the process. Let's cover our community who's going through illness and salvation. Let's cover a community who's going through infirmities. Pray for 100% healing. Let's also cover those looking for jobs. Pray for God's provision, for God to open doors, for God's timing and guidance. Let's go to our Thursday prayers. Let's start with mission focus. Cover Singapore, Indonesia, and New York. You can pray for all the different church plants that are there. Let's cover the education ministries, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. Cover our prayer and healing ministries, intercessory prayer, as well as the well, our physical healing, and river, our inner healing ministries. Of our outreaches, SP Lights, that's our red light district outreach. Let's cover also our HOMI outreach, which is our outreach to the people who live in the partition homes. Let's pray for some real God encounters. Let's cover Alpha. This is their last weekend. They finish this Sunday. And what they're doing for their last session is to actually attend Sunday service so they can experience what a Sunday worship service is like. Let's pray that for protection for the guests, for Holy Spirit to move powerfully, and pray that that when they come on Sunday, that they would feel so welcomed, really feel like they're part of the family and not feel alienated, but really feel like they're part of something. Let's pray for the house churches meeting tonight, East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood. Let's pray that they would have a wonderful time, experience God, wonderful time of fellowship and worship, that the leaders would be led by the Holy Spirit, that as a house church, they would get pumped and ready for the retreat as well. Finally, let's cover our SP retreat. We have about 2 weeks left. Let's pray for all the logistics, the buses, the immigration, the visa situations for everything, the work situation for people. There's nothing would get in the way of people to come. And also very importantly, let's pray for our Friday night prayer. It's a time that the church can come together. Just pray for everyone's hearts that they really become excited, on the same page, full of anticipation, really take ownership of what's to come, and not just, you know, just show up and just be whatever, but really take hold and pray for themselves in this retreat. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this day and this in the passage today of Jonah. We thank you for Jonah, that he was so faithful, Lord, and that he was able to express how faithful you were, not you were, but how faithful you are, Lord. And we just receive and come into agreement, Lord, that is who you are. You're so faithful that when we pray, you hear the things that we ask, that you answer, Lord. And that's just who you are, so faithful, Lord. Even when we're not, even when we're disobedient, even when we run away, that you always stick by us and pursue us, and that you love us so much, Lord. So, Lord, would you just lead us this day, guide us every step, speak to us and give us discernment to hear your voice, to obey, and give us wisdom as we go out. We thank you, Lord. Pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, everybody. Have a great day. Please continue to spend time.